You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Welcome to Earth Station 1, a weekly podcast dedicated to all things sci-fi, fantasy, and much, much more. Sit back and relax and enjoy the show.
Hey everyone, happy 2018. That's right, folks. It's the ESO podcast, and we are here for another year. Woohoo! That's right, kids. We are here to talk all about putting 2017, the previous old, worn out year, into the geek seat. So it's basically new year, same schmucks, as we like to say on our podcast. So we're here to talk all about it, and we are excited to talk about this year in the the geek seat. And I couldn't do this without my podcast partner, my friend, and the guy I'm going to say Happy New Year to, Mr. Mike Gordon.
Howdy, and Happy New Year to you, sir.
How are you?
I am fine. So far, 2018 is pretty good. I don't want to jinx it. I don't want to jinx it this early in the game, but right now, things are okay.
That's not too bad. Okay is a good way to go, especially with a new year. And, with this year coming up, it's so far so good. 3 days in, and I haven't had to curse anybody out yet. And I was even at an airport, so that's pretty good.
Absolutely.
So it's awesome to talk to you. It's awesome to talk to our friends at home. And, of course, we want to hear from you guys. If you want to write us feedback, call us. We'd love to get, hearing about how 2018 is already shaping up for you or your thoughts on 2017. Please write us, esopodcast@gmail.com, or call us at 404-963-9057. But before we get started with our segment for the Geek Seat, let us welcome our guest for this week. Returning is our movie diva herself. She's becoming very well known. She's not even just on our podcast anymore. She's branching out, and she is appearing on all these other shows. She's going to soon leave us in the dust. Who am I speaking of? Of course, Ashley Pauls.
Hello, and I will never leave you guys in the dust. I'll never forget my first love, ESO, the very first podcast I was ever on. So I definitely won't forget you guys.
That is so sweet. It is awesome. Happy New Year, my dear.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you guys as well. Lots of great geeky stuff going to be going on this year, and I'm looking forward to reflecting back on last year, too, with you guys tonight.
Quick question. No spoilers going into what we're going to talk about, but since you're the movie person, overall, because I keep hearing 2017 was not a great year for movies, what do you think? Was 2017 decent?
I would say overall it was decent. There were some movies that disappointed me or I didn't end up loving quite as much as I was hoping to. So in terms of past years, since I've kind of started blogging, it doesn't feel like it was maybe necessarily the strongest year, but there were some movies that I did really, really love and was very enthusiastic about. So I felt that kind of helped to balance it out a little bit in the end.
Yeah, cool.
Awesome.
We'll be interested to see how many times movie stuff comes up during our main topic this week.
Oh, get ready.
There will be plenty, I think so.
Oh, yeah, very much so. And joining us also is friend of the show. It's been a while since he's actually been joining us. Let's welcome back Jerry Chandler. Welcome, Jerry.
Hey, what's up?
How's 2018 showing up for you so far?
It's cold. It's very cold.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm getting lots of exercise chopping firewood. So whole New Year's resolution, all that new me, new you, new whatever New Year's thing, I'm getting that exercise in.
That's awesome. Hey, I forgot to do resolutions this year. You'll do them for me. It's good. It's a good thing.
Yeah, I gave up resolutions a long time ago. I know I'm not going to stick to them.
Oh, heck no. I'm old enough to know that they're all a piece of wishes. That's it. Yeah, wishes. That's it. Well, it's great to have you back, sir. And this is going to be a great, great, discussion tonight. It's going to be basically not pulling any punches about 2017. So, Mr. Mike, want to take it away?
Yeah, this is the time of year. Most people should know by now. This is what we do annually. We take the previous year and we strap it down to the geek seat. All 365 days of it. It's a mammoth thing. But fortunately, the geek seat is pretty big and can handle it. So we put it through the ringer. Best, worst stuff. Stuff that really drove us wild, and some stuff that drove us crazy, and there was a lot of both, I think, on 2017. So it should be interesting to see how you guys answer some of the questions. We modified the Geek Seat questions to some extent, so we'll be going through them. There's eight questions. Exactly. So yeah, we will get started really with finding out about 2017, the year that was. It just feels so long ago, doesn't it?
I don't miss it at all.
Do you find yourself still writing 2017 in like when you were writing stuff?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Or do we not write stuff anymore? Like, is that not an issue?
The thing is, though, it's easy to change a 7 to an 8.
That's true. The next time, it's not a year from now, it's not going to be so easy. An 8 does not make a nice 9. So, very cool. Well, let's get started. So the first question that I'll put to our panel is, favorite geek out moment. Now, this is not a real life moment that you've had, but a favorite pop culture geek moment, something that you saw in a movie, read in a comic, or saw on TV, something pop culture wise that just made you geek out big time. And Ashley, we will start with you.
Well, I would say my favorite geek out moment was a moment from Star Wars: The Last Jedi. There were several actually big geek out moments for me in that movie, but my favorite was probably the...
Hang on. Before you say that, I'm going to stop you right there for just a second. And I'm going to just make the announcement in case we haven't already. There may be spoilers for stuff that happened in 2017. So if you hear somebody mention something like Last Jedi and you haven't seen it yet, you may want to fast forward a little bit or just go in knowing that there may be some spoilers here, but just to be warned. So just, sorry, Ashley, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Just remember, go blah, 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 blah.
Exactly. I don't know how detailed we're going to get with some of our answers. So I just wanted to let people know that, you know, if you were going to just like totally ruin the ending of something, that people might be surprised.
No, that's perfect, because actually this is a big spoiler. my favorite moment in that movie, there were lots of great moments, I thought, but was the fight in Snoke's throne room. That was one of the scenes that definitely didn't quite go how I was expecting, when you have Snoke being built up to this bad guy and then Kylo just offs him. And then I love that scene of he and Rey just fighting the guards back to back. I love the cinematography, the music. Just everything in that scene was really exciting, and it was a cool twist, and I'm looking forward to watching that scene many more times when it comes out on Blu-ray.
I think when I saw it twice, both times, and the theater was pretty packed, and both times when I saw it, the biggest pop in the entire movie was when that scene where it's Kylo and Rey back-to-back. With their sabers drawn against the guards coming at them. It just fills you like with adrenaline. That sequence is really a geek out moment. You're right. Cool. Jerry, what about you?
Probably my favorite geek out moment was probably the last 6 episodes of American Gods.
Very nice. I was wondering if American Gods was going to come up tonight. Oh, very good.
It's going to come up several times on my list. because when the trailer first dropped for American Gods, it looked beautiful. But I think my comment was, I'm looking forward to it. And then please don't screw up. Please don't screw up. Please don't screw it up. Please, because, you know, I read American Gods back in 2001 when it first came out. And it was one of those few times I read something and my thought was, I never want to see this. I never want to see them adapt this for a movie or a TV show, because 2001, TV special effects weren't quite what they are now, even though they'd gotten much better than, you know, what I'd grown up with. And I could never see this as a movie, because there was no way they could compress the story and make sense out of it as an hour and a half or so. And I never thought I'd see it on TV, because even a lot of the cable, unless you went with like Showtime and HBO, a lot of the cable, a lot of the stuff in the book would never fly. So I was just like, I never want to see this done. And then, you know, here it is 16 years later, and they're going to do it. And it suddenly they come out and it looks good. And I'm just, please don't screw up. Please don't screw up. And amazingly, not only did they not screw up, but there were changes done with Neil Gaiman's help, giving input into the series, that altered some of the character arcs and some of the story, that actually makes me like some of the characters and some aspects of the TV story better than I did the book, which is like one of those like rare great things of, you know, they nailed it perfectly and made it better. And that almost never happens. And it was a book I loved so much. The fact that they got it was just, I was like, okay, that's it. rest of the year can go away now.
Are you concerned with the show changes for season two?
To some degree, yeah. I mean, we don't know who's going to come in yet. So that may be one of those things where it's okay, it's somebody that's competent, and certainly when somebody new comes in, if they say I still want to have input from Neil on some of this, then certainly that'll go a long way towards making people feel better. But my understanding, because I've heard different things, but the leading kind of rumor is that to some degree it was over budget, because the budget kind of ballooned towards Game of Thrones episode levels of budget, and but it's not quite drawing that kind of viewership in at the moment. So it was lower the budget or no, well, we're getting rid of you. And it kind of, that kind of makes me worried, because I wonder how much, if they bring somebody else in, so much of the first season, a lot of it was the mood and the atmosphere created with the visuals and this almost the wildly dreamlike feel of so much of it. And you take that out, I'm not sure how much you'll completely pull out of the TV show working.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. Well, we're definitely concerned. I mean, when we reviewed American Gods, the series on this show last year, I had never read the books. I think I was the only one on when we reviewed it that hadn't read the books, but I found it very interesting and compelling, and I want more. So I hope that there's not a drop in quality. So Mike, what was your favorite Gigat moment?
This was tough for me. It really was. I have to say, because I have two, and I'll talk about the other one later. My total geek out moment came in Twin Peaks this year. I loved Twin Peaks coming back and such, but my total fangasm moment was when Dale Cooper woke up from being Dougie, and he was in a coma, and he woke up. And the doctor says, he's awake. We better call the FBI. And Dale stood up and said, no, ma'am, I am the FBI.
Dun, dun, dun.
It was just like Cooper was back. And I was just like, yes, this was all worth the weirdness that we've just watched for the last 13, 14 weeks. And we're like, yes, this is now Twin Peaks, because Cooper made the show for me. And I loved it when he came back. And, you know, Kyle MacLachlan, total thumbs up, playing three different roles and playing it all really well.
And they kept teasing it. You know, he would have the coffee and you'd think like, here's where he wakes up. Nope. Or, you know, he had the pie and you're thinking, here's where he's going to wake. Nope. And, you know, and there was so many teases that David, yeah, like David's not one to draw something out, right?
No.
He drags it out, but when it ultimately happens, it's so satisfying.
Oh, it was. It made the what we had to go through to get there.
I had Twin Peaks as one of my runner-up geek out moments, particularly part 8, because part 8 was so crazy, so WTF, that it was just an amazing thing to experience on a major network. Like you could see somebody releasing this like on YouTube or something, and you know, not really, but like there was serious money put into this, and yet I'm sure that nobody at Showtime understood what it meant. I'm sure that nobody other than David Lynch knows what it means. And even that I'm not 100% sure about. It's so crazy that you just want, it's an hour of watching something and you can't take your eyes off it, but you just have no idea what you just watched.
Well, exactly. I don't think even Mark Frost knew what he was getting into this time.
It's just so crazy. It's so, but yet you come away going, I am so glad that we live in an environment where David Lynch was able to make that, because mm-hmm. it's unlike anything else that I've ever seen. Anything ever that I've ever seen. So no,
exactly.
Yeah, I was glad to have Twin Peaks back as well. But my number one favorite geek out moment happened on the big screen. It was in Wonder Woman. And I'm going to pick the No Man's Land scene because it was amazing. And after, you know, I personally haven't been waiting for 75 years, but this was like the biggest thing to happen, I think, to the Wonder Woman character since since Linda Carter, but even before that. This character was one that is so iconic, yet never really was fully realized on the big screen. And I've been a big fan of hers since, you know, the early days of my comic reading, and always frustrated as to why there was never a Wonder Woman movie, why there was never, you know, more attention to her. And the scene for No Man's Land was perfect. It was her big screen debut. And I still get goosebumps. I've seen the movie a few times now, and I still get goosebumps every time I watch that scene. Because it's so perfect.
That is the true introduction to a superhero. That's the first time you see her in her uniform or costume, whatever you want to call it. And her just coming up the steps into No Man's Land, it was breathtaking.
Yeah, a few characters get that kind of a good intro. I mean, we'd seen Diana before, but that was the first time we saw Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it was really brilliant. I thought it was well done. And the whole movie was great. So many great moments. But that in and of itself, I think that sequence is going to go down really in history as being one of the most iconic, maybe film sequences ever.
Not hearing an argument there, buddy.
It's really powerful. And I know that a lot of folks, you know, particularly women, found it really empowering as well. So, so that's my pick. Anybody else have any, you know, honorable mentions, something that geeked you out? Ashley?
I was going to say, I'm really glad you mentioned Wonder Woman, No Man's Land, because that was my very close runners up. That scene was just so powerful and amazing. And I actually get a little bit teary eyed whenever I watch it. I've seen it 5 times and gosh, if it doesn't hit me every time. I think I hadn't realized as a female geek and comic book movie fan just how much it was going to mean to me to see a female superhero leading her own film on the big screen. But that scene was just so amazing. I loved how she just walks up out of the trench and is going to help these people, putting her life on the line. It's just such a heroic, epic moment. And the movie had a lot of great scenes, but that one was definitely the highlight for me. So, like you said, definitely a perfect introduction for that character.
Yeah. Any other additional ones? Jerry?
Well, I was debating on 2 of them, and one of them has now been covered quite thoroughly, being Wonder Woman in the No Man's Land scene. So, Crisis on Earth X.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, that was mine too.
Yeah, Christ. Last year they did Invasion, and I think my comments last year on the year-end review was I was thrilled that they did such a good job bringing everybody together, but I thought maybe they bit off more than they could chew because that was such a large story and it didn't quite feel large the way they did it. So I was a little worried about how Crisis on Earth X was going to come off. And somehow, even though I think in some aspects of it, it's a little smaller in the way they filmed it, it felt so much bigger. And it introduced characters that I didn't think I was going to see anytime soon on a CW show. Even things, weird, odd little things like the special effects.
Some money on that.
Yeah, I've heard other people mention it. I think maybe even on one of the ESO shows. But one of the ones that got me is I'm sitting there looking, and there's the bit with Adam riding on the arrow.
Yes.
And that looks so like movie quality perfect. And usually a lot of the stuff they do with the Adam, even on Legends, sometimes is a little but no, I mean they went all out on this. And I was tempering my expectations a little bit after Invasion, even though I liked it. And then I had like a heavy workload that week, so I ended up watching the entire thing in order on the CW app. Just boom, 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 one big story. And I ended up making the comment that I think a lot of people make, which is just, why can't the big screen people get this right?
Yeah, that was a big contention. Look, I actually am one of the people that loved, love is a pretty strong word, but I enjoyed a lot Justice League. And then in a way, like at the end, the last shot of Justice League, or one of the last shots where you see them all together, I got a little geeked out because I was like, wow, I didn't think I'd ever see this. But that the CW has been doing that on a regular basis. I mean, like you, during the crossover, I was kind of like, I can't believe I'm watching The Ray. Like, yeah. The Ray is on television. And a few weeks before that, on The Flash, when Ralph Dibny smelled a mystery and his nose went all wacky, I was like, oh, my God, I've never seen, like, I just started getting all, like, emotional because I was like, I never thought I'd see that. I mean, as a DC fan guy, I'm just amazed at what they're able to accomplish and all the characters that they're able to bring in. And yeah, the crossover, they better release that on Blu-ray. I will buy that, like, that day.
It was pretty awesome to see. And the way they did the advertising for it made it feel like the old DC covers.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
It was just really well done. And to see that on the screen and wow.
Now, Mike, you said that there was a close second for you too?
Yeah, it was Crisis on Earth X. Because it was really close to being my number one also. But there was, a lot of, greatness and, I hate to say it. I do have to say them announcing that there was going to be a female Doctor Who is pretty much a huge geek out moment for me. Everyone was trying to guess who was going to be Capaldi's replacement. And, there was, there's definitely reports of it. And we had people who, give us some of our Doctor Who news. We're swearing by it and oh, blah, blah, blah. And then they never made the announcements and we had egg on our face because we talked about it on the podcast. And then when they announced the female doctor, it was just like, wow, they did do it. I was so happy when they announced that. And yeah, I think she's going to do great. Right.
Yeah, I mean, her debut a few weeks ago in the Christmas special was one to remember. So, literally left us all hanging.
Or more, all of us all falling.
Exactly. Yeah.
We're falling for her already. It's awesome.
I also want to give props to Game of Thrones this season. A lot of characters are starting to come together. Seeing Jon Snow and Daenerys I was gonna say hook up, but that comes later. But actually meet for the first time is surreal. And then later on, seeing both of them with the Lannisters and everybody all together, Tyrion and everything, it's like, and with the dragons, I'm kind of like, what show am I watching? Like, how can they be bringing all these characters together? And it's finally happening. It's coming together. It's very weird, but it's weird in a good way, because I'm definitely on board with it. It's exciting. And I can't wait till to see what happens. I don't know. Hopefully it'll be this year. I don't think they've made a full commitment to announce it, if it's going to be 2018 or not. But yeah, I thought Game of Thrones was really excellent, especially seeing a lot of the stuff with the dragons and a lot of the battle sequences. They just were they killed it this season, as far as I was concerned. So that was a total geek out experience for me as well. But okay, so we've raved about a lot of really cool geek out stuff. What about the flip side? Most disappointing moments. Jerry, I'm going to put the ball in your court to start off with.
I think my most disappointing geek moment for the year, and it's weirdly a mixed bag. I considered not putting it on, because then I put it on because at the time it happened, it was the biggest disappointment. As the year's worn on, I'm thinking it's probably a really, really good thing. But the greatest disappointment for me at the time was the complete failure of The Mummy to be a really good, compelling film and a success, and then the death of the Dark Universe concept that they wanted to launch.
Is that officially dead now?
Yeah.
My understanding is it is officially dead. Of course, we are talking about monsters, and it's not like Dracula didn't have a stake in his heart at the end of every film.
Right.
But, yeah, I'm a huge horror geek, and the idea of bringing these franchises back, I mean, the Universal monsters are some of the most recognizable creations in cinema history, probably worldwide. And they're very dearly loved, and I would have loved to have seen them brought back and brought back right, and slowly building things to the point where you end up having some sort of film where you can start bringing them together. And if The Mummy was any indication, sort of like, what was it, Dracula Unleashed a few years ago, which was supposedly going to be the launch, and then they nixed that because of the box office, or they just decided to nix it. But they were kind of going about it backwards, I think. They were trying to do a Marvel shared universe, and they're going about it the wrong way. And I think it might be a good thing that it failed, because maybe if somebody else comes along at Universal and they decide to bring it back, I'm hoping that instead of doing, let's do summer blockbusters, no, let's move the movies to the fall. Let's have them slightly smaller, but get people that care about these creations. Get someone like a Guillermo del Toro, because he's basically doing Creature from the Black Lagoon now, and it's beautiful. So, you know, you get somebody like that to do these things and build it slowly, and don't try to force it. You know, Marvel, everybody keeps not thinking about the fact that when Marvel wanted to do a shared universe, a lot of their characters have an inbuilt connective tissue in most of our minds. Some other things don't. Just do the good monster movies first, then move them together. I mean, that's what they did way back when. They didn't announce they were doing a shared universe. They did all these good movies, and eventually, because the fans were sitting around going, okay, well, who would win a fight between the Wolfman and Frankenstein? Who would win a fight between this? The studios were finally like, well, let's do House of Frankenstein. Let's do House of Dracula. Let's put these guys together and see them beat each other up and terrorize Abbott and Costello. You know, it was hugely disappointing at the time, but I think at this point, like I said, I'm actually kind of glad that it's the version of it they were doing has been put to rest.
Yeah, it did seem like it was coming from a place where not one person had a vision, and it seemed like they were going for something different. I mean, you could argue that the original Universal monster movies were the first shared universe that we'd ever seen. Because they made Dracula and Frankenstein independently, but then they found reasons to combine them later on. So they gave them a shared universe, and it wasn't completely coherent, but it wasn't certainly the huge success that Marvel's having. But still, they have that tie. So it was kind of nice to see them, the idea of it coming back, like the original shared universe in film, like coming back and making an impact. But they and it wasn't like, I don't think, you know, it was Tom Cruise's fault per se, but obviously having him in it didn't help.
No, I wouldn't lay it on any level on Tom Cruise. It was, they could have cast anybody in there. It was just, it was really poorly conceived for what they wanted to do. So it didn't matter who they cast. It was probably not going to do well.
Yeah. 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 Well, I suppose it's best that they just cut it off now and regroup rather than go on and, you know, try to muck their way through it the way DC has. But Ashley, what about you? What was your disappointing moment?
I'd say one of the movies that disappointed me this year was unfortunately a sequel to one of my very favorite movies. I am a huge fan of the original Kingsman, The Secret Service. I didn't get a chance to watch it until after it had come out on DVD, and I loved how it just kind of sent up some of those cheesy spy movie tropes, but was really fun and had great characters. So I was super pumped for the sequel. And the sequel, for whatever reason, did not quite live up to the first one. I actually have a hard time kind of putting my finger on why I didn't love it as much as the first one, but it just felt like the humor, the characters weren't quite as good as the first. So it was by no means a terrible movie, but was kind of sad just because I had loved the first one so much and really got my hopes up. And I thought the second one just wasn't quite what it could have been.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. I don't remember when we reviewed it. Were you there? Because I don't remember you feeling like that low about it.
I actually, that was the only one I think I've had to miss this year because I caught a stomach bug. So that was kind of a
so it literally made you sick.
It literally made her sick.
You could say that is true. So,
but remember, Mike, Alex made up for her aberration and hatefulness for this movie almost as bad as Mark Maddox when he saw the Kong movie.
Yeah. when we had Jay on for Logan.
That's
and,
true.
And Jay was the one who was like, I didn't really love this as much as you guys. I mean, we had some really interesting discussions. Ironically enough, when we got together to watch to review Last Jedi, everybody loved it. I was like, somebody's got to hate it because there's so much hate for this movie online. But nope, none of that happened. But we did have some really good, interesting discussions this year with movies because one person among us, sometimes it was me, didn't care for something. So,
no, it was pretty amazing, you know, with Kingsman. We all went into it with a lot of high hope and we all thought, you know, how can they lose? How can they mess up? They had a winning combination and it just felt like it was all very forced. And I think we all agreed though, when we were talking about it, that Elton John was the one shining light in that movie.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Like I felt like I did get my money's worth with just the Elton John scenes. It's like, okay, my $10 ticket has paid for itself now.
Well, Mike, what was your most disappointing geek out moment?
It has to be another movie that we reviewed this year. Something I was really looking forward to because I had read the whole series of books by Stephen King. I was really looking forward to it. I thought they had done really well with the casting with Idris Elba and also Matthew McConaughey. And when Dark Tower was up on the screen, I was like, what the hell are we watching?
Huh.
It was not anything what I was expecting or anything that it, maybe the names resembled the books, but that was about it. And it didn't do it for me. And I had dragged friends with me because I was like, oh, it's one of my favorite book series. This is going to be awesome. This is going to be great. Stephen King wouldn't let them put anything out bad out. He hasn't done that for years. Oh, was I mistaken on that one, my friends? Oh, was I mistaken? And it hurt to see that movie and the way it is. The one glimmer of hope is that it's now been announced that they're redoing it already into a TV series. And I think that has at least a chance to actually capture – the feel from the books.
Yeah, as Jerry said earlier, I mean, now we live in a day and age where, you know, you were kind of scared prior to now. You were scared if your main favorite book ever was going to be adapted, because you were like, I don't know if they can really pull this off. But now with TV, they can really delve into things. So you don't just get a 2-hour highlight reel of a movie, of a book. You know, you can actually get really into the characters. I mean, Game of Thrones has shown that, right? So, so I'd be curious to see. I would give Dark Tower, like, that's the thing. I didn't hate it as much as you guys did, but then I didn't love it either, because I didn't have anything to compare it to.
Well, you're also not a Stephen King fan. Not, I'm not right. trying to cut you down at all. Nope, right there. No.
I'm proud of that.
No. I know. And I know you're not a Stephen, and you hadn't read the original source material.
Right. So to me, it was just like, okay, I didn't know what I was missing, so to speak, you know? So I agree. I must admit, I thought you were going to go somewhere else, and probably in your runner up, you might. So we'll save that for a second. But, you know, I carefully avoided, big screen disappointments this year. I'm pretty happy with my track record. We did see a few movies that I was kind of like I mentioned, Dark Tower was one of them. I will say also, and I'm just saying, this wasn't on my list, but I will also say that last weekend I saw The Greatest Showman, and that was kind of meh. That could have been better, I think. Or maybe not at all. I don't know. I have weird conflicting feelings about that movie. So, but they weren't disappointments to the extent that they were just like, oh my God, I want my money back. So I had to look elsewhere. TV's been pretty good to me as well. So I went with comics, and you know, I can't think, well, yes, I can think of a couple particular stories that just disappointed me. But overall, I have to say that as a company, Marvel Comics is really dropping the ball. And I'm not just saying that because, you know, people are like, oh, well, you're a DC guy. Of course you're going to say that. I love all comic companies. And I've been growing up, and I've been reading Marvel just as long as I've been reading DC. Now, the Spider books are okay. They're not great, but they're okay. And a lot of the other times I tried to pick up a Marvel book this year, I'd pick it up and I'd read it and I'd just be like, ugh. And there, I will say the exception to that overall has been the Star Wars books that they do. I think those are pretty solid. They've got some really excellent talent on that. I have to say that my biggest disappointment was they put out a comic of the Enchanted Tiki Room, and it was awful. Okay, so I get it. You've got the Disney license, you know, I get it. You're going to, you know, have comics based around rides at Disney World. I get that, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean, at least the first one, good movie, right? I even like the last one, the most recent one. I like the Pirates comics it comes out. But I had high hopes for the Enchanted Tiki Room comic. And look, I mean, I know that the Tiki stuff, especially when it comes to comics, is close to my heart. So some people might feel like, well, you think you could do better? I'm pretty sure I could. It was just a mess. They tried to make it out like it was a Fantasy Island thing, and it just didn't work for me at all. So very disappointed in that. So I have to, and you know, Marvel is kind of going through some stuff. So I'm hoping that they come out of it with better stories. They're renumbering nonsense, still doesn't make any sense to me. And some of the other decisions that they've made, don't make any sense to me. So I know that they're owned by Disney. So I hope ultimately, you know, they'll get their act together, because most things that are owned by Disney do. That Tiki Room comic, not a good thing. Don't, you know, as a Tiki fan, please just don't. Good covers, though. They did have nice covers by some really cool Tiki artists. So if you're interested in just the cover art, I can get that. But the interior stuff, I'm sorry. I can't sign off on it. Any other disappointing moments, either on the big screen, little screen, elsewhere in pop culture? What do we got? Jerry, anything?
It was funny you brought up Mark Maddox and Skull Island. I didn't have as strong of a negative reaction. I'm not going to be inclined to bring up the body parts of like donkeys in my response, but yeah, Kong Skull Island, because I was really looking forward to it, and you know, Legendary did a good job with the Godzilla. I mean, a lot of people now slag on it about, oh, you know, oh, there wasn't enough Godzilla, there was only 14 minutes of Godzilla, which, okay, there was only 14, 15 minutes of Godzilla in a lot of the old films too. Just that doesn't bother me. But what they managed to do with Godzilla was the way they did it, the way they chose to shoot the scenes with Godzilla, how they revealed him, how they set everything up to the final battle. They made Godzilla feel epic. And one of the things that I felt a lot of the King Kong knockoff films and some of the other films that have tried to do something like King Kong failed to do, that the original King Kong did, and even as much as it gets slagged on the 70s King Kong did, was they kind of made King Kong feel epic. He felt like it was something amazing. This was almost a primal force of nature. And since they had done so well with Godzilla, I was looking forward to that, since they're talking about how they're going to bring them together. And they kind of just, for me, it just kind of felt like they were doing one of the King Kong knockoff films. He didn't really feel epic or impressive or that much like a force of nature. And I felt like all I thought about afterwards is how much, you know, we've done the military man who's got to kill the monster for no sane reason and loses his mind in so many films that it just, okay, we could have spent that time doing world building. There was enough drama for the humans trying to survive on this island, and we could have seen more of the island and more of the world building and taken a different approach to Kong. And it wasn't a bad movie. It fell flat for me. And I figured my son loved it, so I got the Blu-ray for him. And I was like, okay, lowered expectations. But even on a second viewing at home, it was just, it's not a bad movie for me. It's just, it's not a good movie. It just kind of, it fell somewhere in the middle. And I was kind of disappointed with everything except for the after credit scene. Because yeah, that geeked me out 6 ways from Sunday.
Yeah, that's another geek out moment that we didn't mention before, but that's pretty awesome. Mike, what about you?
Oh, geez. Some honorable mentions. Well, this was the year that I gave up comics, that I just wasn't into them as much as I used to be. And, you know, it was just, okay, there's only so much I could be doing and such with, you know, to spend money on. And I was just like, I still have probably at least 50 comics from when I was collecting still that I have not picked up. They're sitting in a drawer waiting to be read. I just haven't picked them up. I just haven't had the time, or I haven't made the time to it. And, you know, that's just one of my honorable mentions. It was just like, comics were my life for a long time. Hell, I used to own a comic book store. You know, and then for me to give up on comics like that is just unheard of.
Yeah, this is also, last year was also the year you gave up on Walking Dead, right?
Oh, yeah. Wow, I gave up on a lot of things. I also gave up collecting pop figures. I also still get them.
No, you didn't.
You know, yes, I did, but don't tell any. Don't tell them that there, because I still want to get the free tickets to the tour of the Funko factory. But yeah, it was just interesting to be able to see what, you know, they were doing. But one of my, you know, biggest disappointments also had to be fandom in a lot of ways. How negative things have become about all these different things that are out there right now. Look at the results for Star Wars. Look at people comparing between the Orville and whatever Discovery, you know, and how negative things are getting between that, or, you know, anything that comes out nowadays, they'll tear it to shreds. Look at what the whole thing with Justice League. It's just, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, that's more of a real life thing. So we'll get into that a little bit later, but I'm with you on, and well, Discovery was a disappointment too, to me. So I guess I could put that as an honorable mention. Ashley, do you have one as well?
I would say one of my disappointments is some of the decisions that Warner Brothers has been making with the DC Expanded Universe. I just absolutely loved Wonder Woman. It's one of, not only was it one of my favorite movies of this year, it's one of my all-time favorite superhero movies, period. But I'm just concerned with some of the choices they made as part of Justice League. I really love the acting and the characters. I think they've gotten a great cast, but I'm kind of concerned with how DC is handling some of their other films. And I'm just worried that they're going to lose some of these actors, particularly Ben Affleck as Batman. Even though there was some controversy when he was cast, I thought he did a great job. And I really liked his kind of gritty, world-weary older Batman. And I've heard some rumors now that he may be losing the leaving the franchise. And I think that would be just such a shame, because I would still love to see him as a solo Batman. So I hope they can get some of their stuff kind of worked out behind the scenes, because these are great characters. I want to see them in more movies. And with some of the slightly lower box office results for Justice League, not as high as they were expecting, I really hope that they can kind of turn things around and get people interested, because these are great characters and good actors. And I think they deserve to be seen on the big screen.
Awesome. Agreed.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Well, very cool. Well, now it's time for us to name our favorite characters of 2017. Now, these can be real people or fictional characters that we saw on the big screen, little screen, in a book, in a comic, something of that nature, even on a commercial, maybe even in a YouTube video. What do you got for us? We'll start with you, Mike. Who's your favorite character of 2017?
You, of course, Mike.
Well, hey, I'm just, oh, shucks, man.
Well, who else would it be? No. My favorite character of this last year, that's tough for me, because there was a lot of characters that I actually really liked. I have to say, though, and this is going back a couple months, but I loved the character of, I think it was his name, Miguel, in Coco.
Oh, yes.
One of the biggest surprises this year for me, of course, was Coco. And I just loved the character. And, you know, all he wanted to do was play guitar and be a musician. And his family was like, no, 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 we're shoemakers. We don't play music, because of something that happened in the past. And him going to the other side in the Day of the Dead was just, it was just an awesome, awesome story. And I loved seeing the movie from his eyes.
So many great characters in that. That was one of my favorite movies of the year as well. I loved it. I put it right up there with Kubo from the year before.
Oh, yeah. Very much so.
And Moana.
Well, and it's interesting, because people have been asking me about it, and I tell them it is my favorite Pixar movie since Up.
Yeah, good call.
Yeah. So I definitely think I think Pixar found their footing again, and I'm really looking forward to the next one, which of course is Incredibles 2. And so, you know, what's bad about that? Let me paraphrase that. Please, Pixar, don't mess it up, because I want to keep to that phrase. So,
yeah, but absolutely.
But no, Coco was just an amazing movie. And like you said, a lot of the characters were great in that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Ashley, what about you?
I would say my favorite character in a movie this year was Luke Skywalker. I know that one's a bit controversial. It was a much different portrayal of Luke in The Last Jedi than I think people were initially expecting, but I really liked what they did with the character. They kind of avoided the trap of making him just kind of like redone version of Obi-Wan, kind of the wizened, all-knowing mentor. And I like that they were willing to show that he was broken, that he'd failed, that he had been tempted by the dark side. But then I thought that made his final scene even more powerful, when you see him displaying this really amazing new force power, where he's projecting himself across the galaxy, and He strikes a blow for the white light side without actually any violence at all. He doesn't hurt a single person, but absolutely wins that fight. So I thought that they took some creative risks with his character, but it really paid off with his scene in the end. And it was so moving to see him become one with the Force with the binary sunset and, of course, the John Williams music playing. So I know not everyone was a fan, but I personally really liked what they did with his character.
Yeah, excellent. Excellent. Yeah, I'm it took me a while to come to terms with that. I must say I liked my viewing of Last Jedi the first time, but I was somewhat hesitant about some of the choices that they made for Luke. But the second time I watched it, maybe it's because I'd already accepted them, like this has happened. So, you know, either that or I could sign a petition so that it didn't happen. So going in the second time, I feel like they did earn it. Maybe it could have been done a little bit better, just a tad, but I feel like they still earned it for me. So, if it is indeed his last one, I thought it was a really good way for him to go out.
Sure. Mark Hamill was fantastic, I thought.
Yeah, I think it's one of his best acting performances ever. Regardless of what the choices of the character made, I thought he did an amazing job. Jerry, what about you?
My favorite character for 2017 probably surprises me at the end of 2017 that I'm saying it, because it was not a favorite character from the book, but the character arc is substantially altered, and that's Mad Sweeney from American Gods, which, by the time they really started establishing that character in the series, I just loved Mad Sweeney. And particularly once Mad Sweeney hooks up with Dead Wife and they do a road trip together, the two of them together, I loved it to death. It was fantastic. And
the chemistry between the two of them was awesome.
Yeah, it was amazing. And I can't believe I'm loving Mad Sweeney this much. And a lot of it, like you said, the chemistry, and a lot of it owed to the actor. Because even coming in, the early scene when Shadow Moon is being recruited, you know, Sweeney in the book acts a little different than the actor portrayed him. And you can almost see twinges of, like, guilt and regret in what he's doing. And you kind of get the feeling already that this character is definitely not going to be what we knew in the book. And then as his arc continues, it was just like, okay, I did not go into this series thinking I was going to walk out with my favorite character being Mad Sweeney, but yep, Mad Sweeney.
Now, you have to refresh my memory. Which actor played that character?
Oh, God, I'd have to look it up. I'm not familiar with his work from anything else, and he's got kind of a not common sounding name, so I'd probably mispronounce it. But he did an excellent job. And of course, you know, my Internet Explorer is being real slow at the moment.
Well, it was interesting because, you know, he plays a leprechaun, basically.
Yeah, a 6'5" leprechaun.
Exactly. And the first time you see him, basically you were wondering what the heck's going on. And he gets into the fight with Shadow. And it's just awesome, you know, for the lucky coin. It was just awesome.
Okay, so I guess it's just down to me. So my favorite character, and, you know, I'm going to be redundant from my pick from the first category of Geek Out Moment, but it has to be Wonder Woman on screen. So much so that not only did the movie itself featuring Wonder Woman and Diana played just so exquisitely by Gal Gadot, I loved the performance so much that when it came time for Justice League, I found myself, you know, anticipating, thinking that, you know, I can't wait to see her again. I can't wait to see this character. And I'm a Batman guy, and I appreciate Ben's role as Batman, but with all the other new characters that they were going to introduce and whatnot, I was still, thinking that Wonder Woman was going to be the one to watch, and she didn't disappoint me throughout, you know, the highs and lows that was the Justice League movie. I would say that Diana was still on point and very well done. And I think, you know, out of all of the, you know, DC characters in the movies, she right now is just can do no wrong. So, you know, it's so wonderful to see. And she got, you know, so like most things, right? She got so much heat when she was cast. So much heat. And yet I think a lot of people are surprised by the fact that she pulled it off. But, I sort of reserved judgment until I watched it. And boy, she is just amazing. And I want to see, like, that character easily is the one I want to see continue. And I know that we're getting a sequel, not as soon as I want one, but we'll get a sequel. So, so yeah, Wonder Woman is my top character. So, but we can now go with honorable mentions real quick. Mike, you got anyone?
Well, I've already mentioned Dale Cooper earlier. I just, you know, he was great in that. But my real official one is going to surprise some people, is Batman, but not the Batman you're thinking of. I'm thinking of a little animated Batman that was out earlier this year from Lego Batman. It was just amazing.
Lego Batman is awesome.
Yes, he was, and makes me have new respect for Lobster Thermidor.
Yeah, that was I like the Lego movie where he's introduced, but the he can carry his own movie. I thought that was really well done as well. Any others, Jerry?
Although first, Pablo Schreiber, that's the name of the actor from Matt Sreeney.
Gotcha, yes.
And who's done nothing else that I recognize, but apparently people who like Orange is the New Black know him as Porn Stash.
Oh my God, that's him? I did not realize that.
Yep, he's got the credit. The only show I recognized in the quick look was Orange is the New Black, and it's like his character is something Porn Stash. And I was like, okay, I might watch that, because I'm now a fan of the actor, but
No, like the same, nothing at all. You wouldn't even recognize him.
My runner-up character was actually mentioned earlier, Ralph Dibny, because after the previous season of The Flash, where they were recovering from Flashpoint, and it felt like they kind of lost the heart of the series a little. It was getting darker and grimmer, and The Flash, I liked, because it wasn't the dark, grim show. Even when they were dealing, they had their more serious moments, but they didn't get overly broody. And there was a lot where it seemed like The Flash was becoming more like that. So when this season starts out and things seem a little lighter, I'm like, okay, good step. And then when they introduced Ralph Dibny and he's going to be a regular recurring character throughout the season, it's like, okay, good. They're bringing the good kind of silly back, and
we're in the Silver Age.
Yes, yeah, and I have since I've loved the character since they've introduced him, and he's just it's a wonderful character.
Yeah, and really well cast, really well cast. I think I definitely agree with that. Ashley, any runners up?
We've already chatted about her quite a bit, so I don't have too much else to add, just that I thought Wonder Woman was awesome. She was great in Wonder Woman and her parts in Justice League. Can't wait to see more from her.
I'm also going to, as my honorable mentions, I'm going to cheat and go with two ensemble casts from two of my favorite shows that premiered this year or this past year. Actually, one premiered in 2016, but I didn't discover it till 2017. But so it covers for me. But that is the cast of the entire cast of characters of The Good Place and the entire cast of characters of Glow. Both of those shows, you know, despite what the plots may be or et cetera, the cast is phenomenal. Right. I can't say it three times.
Do, 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 do.
I know, right? Phenomenon. Do. Just so much fun. The characters are great. And each show allows such great character moments. I think Mark Maron's finally found his like best, like the reason that he was put on this earth is to play this character. Ted Danson is a riot in The Good Place. I just, you know, they're just so good. I definitely, if you haven't checked out either one of those shows, I recommend it for the cast alone. The cast, not only the cast of actors, but the cast of characters. I think they do a really great job. So, all right, time for the flip side. Least favorite character 2017. And I am going to start this one off. This might be stating the obvious, but I am going to go with Steppenwolf from Justice League. Look, the character himself in the comics is basically a henchman, you know, for Darkseid. So to have your big movie villain debut of the Justice League be about, you know, trying to fight off a henchman is kind of lackluster in and of itself. But also, I mean, it worked much better when this was supposed to originally be a two-parter, right? And Steppenwolf was going to be in the first part, and then Darkseid was going to be in the second part. So that makes a lot more sense to me. But as it's at his own, and really, it's like they didn't even bother hiring someone. They just used the CGI guy. And to be honest, I've seen better CG in, like, video games. So there's a lot that I like about Justice League, but the villain, the bad guy, one note, and just really did nothing for me. As far as, out of all the DC guys they could have picked, it's, you know, he's so lackluster that, I think both times when I saw Justice League, the audience like clapped audibly and got excited at the very end where they showed Deathstroke and Luthor, just because it's like, hey, there's two really good, much better villains here. I'm going to pick Steppenwolf as my least favorite character of the year. What about you, Ashley?
Well, actually, I'm just going to have to echo exactly what you said, because Steppenwolf was, unfortunately, my pick as well.
Okay.
I thought they did not do a great job of introducing him for people that aren't as familiar with the comics. I felt a little bit lost. I wasn't quite sure what his plan was or what he was involved in. I think it would have been much cooler if, like you had said, they had shown that he was more of a henchman. He was part of this darker, more evil plan. But I thought when you're having a team up as epic as the Justice League, Batman, Wonder Woman, Superman, they needed a more compelling villain to fight. And of course, it's not just this film. We have seen other superhero movies that struggle with having a lackluster villain. But I thought, in particular, when you've got an epic team up, that the villain's got to be really compelling, too.
Yeah. You like, it's pretty common, even in the Marvel movies. Like, I love Guardians of the Galaxy, but Ronan is just basically two steps above a CG Steppenwolf. Like, he might as well be. And you know, they've done like Thor, the Dark Age, Dark World. Yeah, that's, Christopher Eggleston is wasted in that movie. So, I definitely agree. Jerry, what about you?
My least favorite character is a real person who seems fictional. And since you guys generally try to avoid politics, all I'll say is in the 80s, he was a real estate mogul who is in a storyline. His body was crushed, so they transplanted his brain into Bill the Cat. That may make sense to some people. Everybody else can look it up.
It's huge. It's awesome. That's all we'll say.
It's hard to. I'd almost wish, you know, Steppenwolf was in his place. Okay. Gotcha. Mike, what about you?
Okay. Wow. That's almost impossible to really choose. Who I was going to pick, because I also like this one. I had a couple different ones, and this one's not going to be too popular, actually. One of my least favorite characters this year actually was in Thor Ragnarok. And that was the character played by Jeff Goldblum. And I just think, what was he with the Grandmaster? Was the character he played. He played Jeff Goldblum. He wasn't, you know, the Grandmaster from the comics or anything. He just was Jeff Goldblum from any number of movies. And I just thought, what a waste and everything. He wasn't menacing. He wasn't anything that I even feared or, you know, that Thor should have feared and such. I just was like, I thought that was the weakest part of the movie for me, actually, was Jeff Goldblum.
I have some problems with Ragnarok as well, and it made it almost made a couple of other mentions here. I can't pick a least favorite character out of Ragnarok because I think all of them are pretty okay. But yeah, there was a lot in Ragnarok I didn't care for. But I get your point. I get your point. So any honorable mentions? Real life or in fiction? I guess in real life, I would pick the 85 Bridge in Atlanta. That was a disaster, literally, or that we had to deal with this year. Ashley, you got anything?
I would say one of my runners up is actually a different character from Thor Ragnarok. I really enjoyed the movie overall. It's not one of my favorite Marvel movies, but I definitely had fun time watching it. But for whatever reason, the rock creature, I think his name was Korg, really annoyed me, and I can't exactly explain why, but just his jokes took me out of the movie a little bit, and I really hated in the end when Asgard is exploding and it's a really emotional moment or should be, and he cracks a joke, and that really bothered me. So I know there are some people who really love him, think he's a great character, nothing against them, but he kind of annoyed me.
Yeah, I am right there with you. I could have done without him as well. Jerry?
To some degree, Steppenwolf, but it's not just Steppenwolf. It's what you guys already touched on. It's what Steppenwolf represents. I keep seeing these really good, you know, good to really great superhero TV shows and movies, and I just end up thinking by the time it's done, everything else was great, but when they opened up the books with these hundreds, if not thousands, of amazing villains created over the years at Marvel and DC, you know, why are they just like throwing a dart? Because there's some amazing characters out there to use and to really, you know, you got to have a good villain to really feel like the heroes have overcome something.
And half the time
it's like, you know, it's not Bond versus Goldfinger. It's like Bond versus Henchman number 6. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of what we're left with Justice League. So, Mike, any last ones?
Real quickly, probably Rick from The Walking Dead. He's one of the reasons I stopped watching the show. It was just like, I like Andrew Lincoln as an actor, but the character of Rick has always gotten on my nerves in the comics and even more so on the TV. And I think Andrew Lincoln is just playing a watered down version of even the comic book Rick, and especially during the war and everything leading up to it, and letting Negan get so much into his head more than he did in the comics and such. So, because Rick always had a plan against Negan and didn't feel like Rick really did. He had to be convinced to do what he had to do. And that was part of the reason I dropped the show.
Yeah, this season was a little bit different, but yeah, there's still some issues there. I will agree. I think the comic Rick is better than the TV Rick. And that's no.
They need to get rid of his hand. That's what they need.
That's right. He's got one hand too many. So they did get rid of a Grimes though. So just not that. All right. So we're moving on to the next category. This should be fun. Favorite word, phrase, quote, or pose. We could even say lots of things said. This year, what stuck with you, Jerry? We're going to go with you first.
I'm not sure I can say it without being bleeped. And
that's okay. You have the editor on the show tonight, so it's okay.
It's my favorite quote, and it's probably my favorite quote that stuck with me because of the overall scene it was in, and just how it had me like laughing out loud. And that's "You're an asshole, dead wife." Mad Sweeney screaming at the lovely Mrs. Moon as she's like laying in the water, not pretending to be dead, but pretending to be inanimate.
Yeah,
and as they're cuffing him and dragging him out, and he's just screeching that line over and over again, right after having like looked at the cops and go, no, it's okay, she's alive. See, see, she's alive. And then realizing she's about to screw him over. And as he's getting dragged out, she's like looking dead under the water, and then just gives that ever so small grin. That whole scene, that's just for whatever reason that stuck in my head, and I've had that in my head ever since.
Not a bad little Irish brogue you broke out there either. So well done, well done. Ashley, what about you?
I'm really terrible about remembering quotes, so I'm probably going to butcher this. But one of my favorite lines from this year came from Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Actually, I really liked its theme about like family and parents, and I thought one of the most emotional lines was when Yondu ends up giving his life to save Peter and is commenting on Ego, saying he may have been your father, but he wasn't your daddy. And it's just like a little line, but it just like, man, that just really hit me. I really loved how they took Yondu. It was kind of an entertaining side character from the first film, but really added a lot of depth in the second. So that was just a nice line. And I really enjoyed the Guardians theme of kind of unconventional family, like these are a bunch of misfits, but they've all kind of found family and belonging together.
Yeah, good call. Good call. Mike, what about you?
Well, mine has to actually go from Guardians also. It's how when I loved it when the one character, when Drax was kept on referring to Mantis as ugly. You're hideous. You know, you can't help it. You're horrible looking to see. And it's like, and she's one of the most attractive characters up there. And it's like, oh God, please. I feel like vomiting by just talking to you. it's just awesome. Just, and they kept on playing on that the whole time. And she had no self version of herself. So she kept on believing what he was saying. I must be hideous, you know, and she's so innocent. And it was just awesome.
Of course, the big line from that movie is Poppin' Jol, and that's like became memes. And yeah, so lots of great lines in that movie. Well, before we get to some more other of your picks, okay, so mine is probably one that unless you've watched The Good Place, you're not going to get. But mine is the phrase, holy mother forkin' shirt balls. You're not allowed to curse in The Good Place. The Good Place, aka heaven or the afterlife. And so every time you try to curse, there's another word that pops in your mouth instead. So holy mother fork and shirt balls. And it's a big scene. It's a big scene where there's a big twist. And Eleanor, who's played by Christian Bell, just looks at the camera and just says, holy mother fork and shirt balls. There's t-shirts now. It's a thing. So, but yeah, that's going to stick with me, as well as just, you know, now as geeks, we don't have to just rely on Frack or Frel or any of those others. Now we can use Fork as a substitution for something that Mike will bleep out later. So that's cool. Any other catchphrases? I can think of a couple from Last Jedi. Ashley, did any of you got any from Last Jedi?
There were several that kind of stood out to me. I really liked Luke Skywalker's "This is not going to go the way you think." I think that was literally actually a great. Yeah, I think that was a great.
They used that in the ad campaign, and it was a good move to use that in the ad campaign.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because I think it just kind of summarized the film as a whole. Like, I just find it amazing that out of all the fan theories that have come up in the 2 years since The Force Awakens, that it seemed like pretty much nobody predicted what was going to happen. And I think that's pretty amazing. So that's a good one to keep in mind, probably as we head into episode 9 as well. And who knows what will happen there.
Sure. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of guesses.
Oh yeah. So there'll still be theories.
I was going to say, I'm like, really? Cause now I think they've just told you, don't worry about it. Don't stress over it. Cause you're just going to be disappointed. But the other Luke quote that I've heard so much about, and I find myself in my head too after seeing Last Jedi a couple times, is the couple times where Luke tells his quote unquote students at one time or another, everything you just said is wrong.
Ooh, that's another good one.
Yeah, very nice. Jerry, what about you?
I didn't really have another like short quote. Just the thing that stuck with me for a while was the small conversation that Rocket and Yondu have, that you don't, at least I didn't look at the two characters as having that much in common. And the idea of those two characters having a moment that explains so much about both of them, that conversation did as characters in the film, that was just really interesting and kind of stuck with me. And it made Rocket's emotional reactions in the towards the end during the ceremony for Yondu seem a lot stronger than they might otherwise have been.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Completely CG. Go figure.
Yeah.
not like Steppenwolf CG. Good CG. Mike, what about you?
Well, you know, I had mentioned, Lobster, Thermidor earlier from Batman, and also Clown Snakes, was awesome.
Right.
Now I have something else to fear. But the big thing was, of course, from Logan, actually. And this explains the movie completely if you haven't seen it. Then Logan was going, nature made me a freak, man made me a weapon, and God made it last too long. That's the whole plot of the movie right there.
Wow, nice. Well done.
So that was my honorable mention.
Yeah, absolutely. The only one I can think of, and this one came as a response to episode number 8 of Twin Peaks of the Return, and I saw it and it was perfectly put, and I've seen it. I don't know who to attribute this to, because it was I don't know if it was said by someone random online, but it's certainly a lot of places have picked up on it. But in order to explain episode or part 8 of Twin Peaks the Return, this quote was made: David Lynch is a national treasure. And I think that is so, yes, it is so true. He really is. There's truly no one like him. And that's all you can really say after watching that episode. Well, cool. Well, now we're going to dig deep, people. We're going to get into some real life stuff. No more pop culture. This is real. This is when ESO gets real. Wow, I just sounded like an after-school special, a bad after-school special.
This is a very special episode of Blossom.
This is a very special episode of the ESO podcast. This is when we get our Lifetime channel tears out, right? What's our favorite geek out moments, things that happen in real life that was just really awesome, celebratory even. Ashley, let's start with you.
I would say a highlight for me was definitely getting to go to my first two big con events. I had been to a couple smaller local comic cons, but this was 2017 was my first time really going to some big events. I went to a Planet Comic Con in Kansas City with my dad, and then with my in-laws to Gen Con, the board game convention in Indianapolis, and just had an absolute blast. It was so fun to be a part of those groups, to see the cosplay, just to see people passionate about geeky things. I definitely have con fever now, and I'm already planning my next ones. So it was just that had been something that had been on my bucket list for a long time. So it was super exciting to actually get to go to one, and can't wait to go to more.
Oh, man. So you're working your way up. You're building your way up so you can finally go to Dragon Con.
I was going to say, I see a dragon in her future.
Yes, absolutely.
That would be awesome. But no, cons are, oh man, they're great. I even the cons that I've been to, and even this year I went to a few that kind of were let's just say they were lacking, but still I managed to have a good time because they are, I'm amongst my people. I feel at home at conventions. So good for you. Good for you. Keep it up. Jerry?
My favorite geek out moment for 2017 was probably not my geek out moment, but it was seeing the geek out moment. Anybody that encounters my son, who's 10 years old, will quickly figure out that my son can talk at length about anything to anyone, amazingly, even in greater length than I can.
I was going to say, where did he get that skill from?
And and he will just he will go on endlessly. He can be in a room by himself, and you will start hearing things going. Nothing ever gets him at a loss for words. We were at Dragon Con this year, 2017's Dragon Con, and my son's a Doctor Who fan, and his favorite doctor is Matt Smith. And we went ahead and we bought the autographed tickets for Matt Smith because it was a little different than the Walk of Fame setup. And we're in the room, and it was a fairly long wait because they had the roping lines. And the whole time he's talking about all the stuff that he's I want to say this, I want to say that, I'm going to ask him about this, I want to do that. And all the stuff that was going through his head. And we're like, well, focus on one or two because you're not going to have a lot of time. We finally get up to Matt Smith, and he starts saying one word, and he's kind of half pointing at Matt Smith, and he literally turns into a statue for 45 seconds. He doesn't move. He's got this look on his face like, oh, my God. And his chin, he's like – it was like he was trying to mouth the words I or hello or you, because you could see his chin like moving down to form a word, but just keep getting like in an auto loop. And he was just like, ah. And my wife and I are like, Ian, we bought this, was yours. You at least say thank you. You know, thank you.
That's adorable.
Yeah, and he didn't recover for like a good 5 minutes after we left. But he got his one of the puppeteers at Dragon Con had made a Matt Smith doctor puppet, one of these weird little ones on a stick where you just move the stick and it makes the mouth go up and down like the South Park Canadians. So he got Matt Smith signed that for him, and the puppeteer signed it. So he's very happy about that now.
Wow, that's awesome. That is great. It almost makes me want to have children. Not really, but no, that's pretty cool though.
I can send you one of mine.
No, that's I'm good.
We can give you some of our dogs in case.
And I know, of course, I know nothing about getting starstruck in front of people. Absolutely nothing. That's not something that has ever happened to me. So Mike, what about you?
I didn't get starstruck, but I did have a great celebrity encounter that was truthfully my moment this year. I was amazed. I've been a huge, huge Pinky and the Brain fan for many, many years. And I was fortunate enough to get to interview Rob Paulsen this year, who is the voice of Pinky. He's also in the voice of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Animaniacs, Jimmy Neutron, so many different things. And he's always been somebody I've idolized and looked up to. And to sit in a room just between me, another reporter, and himself for 15 minutes was just amazing, just talking. And for him to say to me at the end of the interview, when we were just doing small talk after the recorder, of course, was off, he was like, you know, man, you've got a great set of chops. Do you do this professionally? And for him to say that to me was just like, wow. You know, people have always said I've got a great speaking voice and everything. But for someone I've idolized and looked up to say that to me was just like, man, maybe I'm doing something wrong. Maybe I'm not doing enough of this type of stuff. And it was just amazing to me. And we have to see what happens in 2018 with that. Spoilers.
Very cool. Some of my encounters are going to have to go into my honorable mentions for me, because my favorite moment this year was Michelle and I's trip to Alaska. And that was just absolutely amazing. So breathtaking in terms of scenery, as well as it's just seeing different parts of, you know, this country that you almost feel like you're on a different planet, but it is still America. Also just some wildlife encounters that just was amazing. Seeing whales in the wild, orcas and humpbacks were just, it's just breathtaking. And I really would need to work on my photography skills because I did not even come close to doing them justice. But luckily they, those are images that I will be, they'll be burned in my brain cells forever. So I definitely encourage that. Of course, I've also mentioned at the tail end of that trip, we ended up in Seattle and we went to the museum, the MoPOP Museum, which was incredible on a geek out level as well. So, combining that trip, with, and ending up at, in the Seattle Museum of Pop Culture was just, an unbelievable vacation. And, it definitely is something that I'm going to always remember. And, I definitely encourage people to do that as well. It was outstanding. So it was my favorite. Came right in the middle of the year too. So it was very nice. It was a nice way to just sort of like center my year around that. Because you know, the whole year I'm looking forward to it for half the year and then I'm remembering fondly on it the rest of the year. So very nice. But I did have some other cool stuff as well. Conventions, of course, Dragon Con, still is getting bigger and better for me every year. This year, my highlights were meeting Alex Kingston, for the second time, but actually getting to sort of hang out with her in the press room was awesome. And, our second annual Tiki Pop panel was a success, was a packed room, standing room only. And that was, just absolutely phenomenal. And, we're going to try to do it again, bring it to you this year as well. But Dragon Con continues to be the highlight of my convention year. And, I see no reason why it should stop. It's been going so well for me for the past 20 some years. And, yeah, I'm already looking forward to it this year. What about, other geek out moments for you? Let's see, Ashley, what are you at?
Well, I didn't have any, official celebrity encounters last year, but, while I was at Planet Comic Con, my dad and I were walking by the booth for, Stephen Amell, who plays the Green Arrow. And he must have seen someone he knew outside the booth because he actually stepped outside the curtains and the barricades, and I was standing like 6 feet from him. So, of course, there was security. We weren't allowed to talk to him or even take pictures, but it was really cool just to, like, be up close to somebody who plays a superhero, and he looks and sounds just like he does on the TV show. So my dad eventually had to gently guide me away so I didn't start hyperventilating. But it
was because he's not at all handsome.
No, of course not. Yeah. So, but that was just a really fun memory. It would have been cool if I had gotten an autograph, but I'm glad I got a chance to sort of meet a superhero, I'll say.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. At Heroes and Villains this year, I, saw, both, you know, paid to do the autograph thing and got to meet, Robin Lord Taylor, which was great, but also just passing by, seeing, I walked by Katie Loitz at one point, speaking of Arrow people, she's much smaller in person than you would think. She's very cool. Walking by Ric Flair, who's looking fantastic after his health scare this year. Very amazing. So Jerry, you got any other, geek out moments in real life?
Sort of real life. I wasn't sure to put this one in the other one or not, but I decided it's kind of real life. So, WrestleMania, watching the New Day teasing, there's going to be an extra team in the, match. It's going to be a fourth tag team in the match, and kind of taking steps and taking the hats off, and they're in their ring gear. And just as everybody starts going away from what they thought it was going to be and is starting to do the who chant, the music hits and the Hardy Boys come flying out the curtain.
Make their triumph return.
And it was probably, and they won the belts. But yeah, that was there. You always hear room when you got somebody leaves a major promotion and they had just left whatever TNA was calling itself that week. But they had gone to Ring of Honor, so a lot of us put it out of our minds that, nah, we're not going to see it at WrestleMania. So when it actually happened, and it's like, okay, they're going to have probably their swan song run in the WWE, and their return was WrestleMania. And the way they played it, it was just, oh my God, yes! And even my wife, who is no longer the wrestling fan she was in the 90s, but loved some of the 90s stuff and the Hardy Boys, was like, oh my God, yes. Well, oh my God, yes. So,
yeah, it was definitely a highlight of WrestleMania. Oh man, yes, that was amazing. and probably a highlight of the WWE for the whole year. But that's a whole other podcast. Mike, what about you? Any other ones you want to mention?
Well, Dragon Con, like you had mentioned, each year is more and more of an experience. And I think this year I had, 14 panels, 15 panels? I was just everywhere. And it's funny, people always ask, don't you get exhausted by doing it? And it's like, I get more and more energy from doing these panels. I just love being up there and performing for people. And I just have a blast. I get to see friends I don't get to see except for once a year. I get to hang out with, people from the podcast, people who are listeners, people who are, I consider friends. It's just awesome all the way around. And, good on the people from Dragon Con for, just putting on such a fantastic show. But has to be one of my other great experiences was when we were at Con K, actually this year, getting to interview Peter Davison.
Yes, that was fun.
Sitting up there with the Fifth Doctor himself and getting to talk to him and hear his story was just amazing. And then meeting Nev McIntosh was just awesome, who plays Lady Vastra.
Yeah, very. That was good times for us. And don't leave out Yanto. He was pretty cool too.
We've met him before. It's okay.
That's true.
He was awesome. He was awesome. He was a great, great time. And it was fun actually being the microphone person for that one and getting to meet all the fans who wanted to ask him the questions.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. And, I wanted to even do some more roundtables because now we got to go to the most disappointing moments. And I want to take the show down too low, but Jerry, we'll start with you. What was your most disappointing moment in 2017?
And you said don't take it down too low. Honestly, the only thing I could think of that really was a disappointing moment for me was Horror News Radio had a member by the name of Santos Ellen Jr. And Santos and I had got to know each other during Dragon Con 2016. We'd communicated online and we'd become Facebook friends. And Santos was really one of those people that, he was one of the ones that you get lucky when you run into him. He was very smart, very funny, very witty. He was the type of person that if there was something going on, if he even thought there was something going on wrong in your life, he was going to be one of the first people to contact you, messenger, email, phone. Hey, what's going on? I heard this. Is there anything, and he's just a really, really good human being. And I had taken time off from volunteering at Dragon Con this year, so I would have more time to do stuff. And we were going to be getting together and we'd been talking about doing some things. And then about a week or so before Dragon Con, he had a heart attack. So he was in the hospital. He had a stent put in and he wasn't able to make it and got home from Dragon Con. And in the weeks after Dragon Con, I'd been pinging him messages and getting in touch with him because I knew a couple of other people that had stents in. And I know how just beat down that makes you for the first 6 months afterwards. And I know what kind of recovery is like. And, like one of the last things we were talking about, he said, no, I'm doing better. I'm actually feeling a lot better than they think I should. And, I'm going to miss this. So I'm not going to be able to see you there either, but hey, I'll see you at this and this. Cause we've always got, there'll always be another time. And literally a few days later, he was dead. And, it hit a lot of us really hard. And particularly the last message that I have from him, there's always time. There's always another time. And it sounds stupidly cliched, but it was one of those moments where it's like, we don't always have time. And as much as we put off, when it comes to going and seeing the people that we're friends with and that we care for, when maybe we could avoid putting it off, it was like, that's something I've got to personally change doing. If I can see somebody, if I can make the time, then I need to make the time. Cause I don't want to have another I don't want to have another thing like with a Santos where, like I said, he was a wonderful person. And it was one of those types of people that you regret not having had more time with. So that was probably my most disappointing moment for 2017, my worst moment for 2017.
Yeah, I can understand that. I'm sorry for your loss, man. Mike, what about you?
For me, it's going to have to be the passing of my mother-in-law, Judy's mom. Goldie was the matriarch of our family, and you know, she was, you know, a steadface for us, and she was always the one, you know, who was always at the family functions. She was always the one who, you know, put everything together, and she took ill the second week after Mother's Day this year. And, you know, she thought she just had a cold and everything, and they put her in the hospital, and just to keep a track of her, within 2 days, she was in intensive care. And then Memorial Day weekend of last year, she passed away from pneumonia, and she had just given up, you know, she didn't want to fight anymore. And within 2 weeks, she went from being completely healthy to being gone. And just for the rest of the year, Judy and I having to pick up the pieces of her estate and putting everything together and just having a huge void in our lives. It was just amazing to see something like that and to have to deal with it and just try to carry on when you lose a loved one like that. And yeah. It was just tough.
Absolutely. I mean, that's never easy. And yes, my heart has been going out to you both this year for that.
And you have been a great support, my friend.
Ashley?
I would say that for me personally, 2017 hasn't been the best of years, or at least it didn't get off to a great start. Had a bunch of health issues at the start of the year that eventually led to me getting diagnosed with celiac disease. So that has not been fun, learning to cut like gluten, bread, cake, basically all the good foods out of your life. But
Oh, no.
So that was a big downer, but definitely thankful to have my husband as a good support system who's been very patient and helpful as we experiment with gluten-free cooking, and is also a good reminder that even though it's not great, there's lots of people who have it worse and have had more terrible things happen to them this year than I have. So I would say 2017, it definitely improved and I'm doing a lot better now. So hopefully all that's behind and 2018 will be even better.
That is good to hear. And yes, sorry that you have to go through that. There's a lot of friends that I had that had had health issues this year, and that that's never fun. But I guess it's, you know, as I'm getting older, that's what happens. Although actually, it's not even that old. So I don't even like a lot of my friends are older, so they're going through stuff. But
even kids really have stuff.
But and of course, Mike, and what, you know, Judy losing her mom and everything like that was horrible. But also for me and for you as well. I mean, you know, former co-host Bobby Nash lost his mother this year, and that was really tough. You know, I've been, you know, with him most of this time when he was dealing with his mom, and you know, the results of cancer. So, that's been really tough. And so on a personal level, that's been most disappointing moments. Also, you know, it goes without saying, I guess, that, you know, we lost a lot of great major pop culture figures this year. You know, we do every year this year. You know, we thought 2016 was pretty bad, but, 2017 came around and we lost Roger Moore. We lost Adam West. We lost Bill Paxton. That was a big surprise. We lost a lot of folks, that always sucks. So yeah, I'm just going to sort of wrap that up in a bow and just say death was awful this year. You know, we still haven't figured out a way to defeat it, damn it. There'll probably be more of that in 2018. Any other maybe less morbid disappointing moments from anybody? like Ashley?
Something that I would have to mention that was interesting this year was unfortunately kind of seeing a shadow cast across Hollywood with the sexual harassment and sexual assault allegations coming out about some very powerful and formerly well-respected people. So in a way, it is kind of sad to see this kind of very dark and very bad underbelly of Hollywood. But my hope is that as these stories rise to the surface, justice will be done, more people will feel protected and safe and respected, and that we can kind of clean out some of this bad stuff, as you know, painful as that process is, and that we can go forward into a future where people are not assaulted and treated with abuse. So hopefully this will bring some positive and lasting change to Hollywood, even through these painful experiences.
As much as I'm sometimes shocked and dismayed by, you know, whenever a new name from the Weinstein list or the Weinstein effect comes out in the news, you know, whenever I feel horrible about the next name or the next person figure that comes out regarding this, that we find out has this kind of behavior, I can't help but feel also very proud and strong for the women who are mostly women who are calling them out on these, the victims that are calling them out, because that hasn't been something that's been easy to do. It's still not easy to do, but now I think we're getting to a point where it's less tolerant of that behavior. So
oh for sure. And I truly believe that there are still lots and lots of good people out there, and I think that they will rise to the top through this process.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Jerry?
There's actually something a couple of you touched on earlier, and it was kind of the darker, more venomous streak that's really been rearing its head in some quarters of fandom. And not just that it's the darker, nasty streak, but the reason why, where like any number of creators – people attack something, or they actually attack the creator because the creator is telling the story they want to tell. And people have created their own fan fiction, and people have come up with their own ideas of this character should be that and that, which is cool because we've all done it. But suddenly it's the creator isn't doing the story that I would tell. The creator's wrong. And it's not just the creator's wrong. Now the creator's horrible, evil, whatever, and not just American fandom. There was the thing I saw earlier in the year, Tokyo Ghoul, the creator of Tokyo Ghoul, a Japanese comic, was resolved something going on with a couple of characters as far as bringing these two characters together romantically. And apparently everybody had been doing fan fiction with one of these characters with another character of the same gender. And because the creator didn't go that way, they launched some horrendously venomous attacks at the creator. And I look at that stuff and I'm like, you know, I grew up in you know, we had fan fiction, and it's been around as long as I can remember in fandom, and everybody would tell their own stories, and but we could still enjoy, you know, what they were putting on the screen or what they were putting in the book. And it seems like there's I don't think it's a larger section of fandom than it used to be, but fandom's gotten bigger, so you do have probably more people in this part of fandom. And, of course, we have social media and the internet and everything, so any minority of this kind can be a lot louder than it used to be and a lot nastier, particularly because they can now find like-minded people to support them. So that aspect of fandom has – that darker streak in fandom has been kind of disappointing in a lot of ways, but particularly now the idea that there's so many people in fandom that just, they can't let a creator do what they want to do and create, that now the creator's got to do it the way their fan fiction is, or they literally hurl invective at the creator.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. Yeah. Mike had made that earlier too. Yeah, I mean, it's just there's a lot of negativity out there continuing. Mike, anything else?
No, pretty much it's what everybody's been saying. The divisiveness between everybody right now has just been such a negative influence on so much in this country right now, between the political parties, between fandoms, between, you know, just family members. It's like, what happened to common decency? What talking through, not just screaming your head off and something if it's not to what you like? It's just gotten way out of hand.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah. Yeah. The only thing that I would add, being, you know, involved in the Tiki community that I am, I was repulsed to see that Tiki torches took on a different meaning entirely this year. And that was something that I tried my little heart to work a little bit against. But it's something that, yeah, was not a pleasurable experience for me, the stuff that went down in Charlottesville, of course. So, yeah, well, enough about that. 2017 is over. Time to turn a new page. Look ahead. We're not going to end this on a sour note. 2018, what are we looking forward to? What's on your, like, must-see list? Ashley, what do you got?
Well, at the top of my list is, of course, the Marvel Cinematic Universe Infinity War. It's hard to believe, actually, that this is it. Like, it's coming this year. They've been building to this for a decade now. And I think that the MCU has done just such a great job of building up these characters, making us care about these storylines. And I think it's going to be a really big, epic payoff. Part of me has a little tiny fear that, you know, it's going to get too unruly with so many characters and everything going on. But I think they've done a great job with all the characters so far. So I'm really looking forward to just seeing it all come together. I have no idea what they'll do with the MCU after it's over with, but I think this is going to be a great ride. And it's definitely my most anticipated movie of 2018.
It's hard to argue that. Jerry, what do you got?
The same. I'm looking forward to the big Marvel event. Outside of that, I'm looking forward to whatever, I'm going to get the name slightly mangled, Nacho Vigalondo does. He's working on a project now. He's a director, writer-director. He did a film in 2017 called Colossal, which is... Which looks like it's going to be, first you think it's going to be a kaiju, a monster movie. Then you see who's involved with it as actors and actors, and you go, I don't know, this isn't going to. And then you watch the movie and you're just like, oh my God, this is my favorite movie, my kind of weird off the beaten path favorite movie find of 2017. It's a fantastic film. And I want to see what he does with his next film.
Wow, I'm not familiar with that at all.
Yeah. Look up the trailer for Colossal.
Oh, Colossal's online. Also. And if you like Anne Hathaway, she's awesome in it also.
Awesome. I will definitely, I will add that. Definitely. Mike, what about you?
Well, looking forward to in 2018. Of course, you know, like Ashley said, the new Avengers movie is just everything Marvel's been building towards. But I am truly, truly looking forward to seeing the new Doctor. We have to wait till the fall, folks, but I am so looking forward to seeing what Chris Chibnall has planned for Doctor Who taking over from Stephen Moffat. And it's just going to be real interesting to see what they do with Jodie. And, you know, I think there's grand things in store for basically our favorite Doctor in a blue box.
Well, and yeah, to your point, it's not just a new Doctor. I mean, it's a new showrunner, it's going to be a new show.
So yeah, I think it's all great things ahead for it. So I'm looking forward to that. And there's a lot of other things. And one of the best things I'm looking forward for 2018, of course, is seeing this all with you, my friend. And going through and seeing where we have planned for ESO. And folks, we have a lot planned. You guys will be amazed what the ESO networks could be coming out with, and also what Earth Station One itself is going to be coming out with, and how you can become part of that.
Absolutely. And yeah, there'll be much more on that later. I think it's hard to argue that Infinity War is like the big must-see movie this year. So I can't think of one offhand that is that I hold higher in regard. However, I will say for the small screen, there's nothing like that I'm looking forward to more, and maybe even more so than anything on the big screen. I mean, a couple years ago, I was obsessed with Westworld, and I cannot wait until its return this year. I can't wait to see what Chris Nolan and Lisa Joy have in store for us. It's going to be, if it's even half as good as the first season, I'll be very happy. I know some people will probably, it'll probably break the internet again. Because people will have their own theories. I can't wait. I cannot wait. So I'm looking forward to that on the small screen. On the big screen, I'm also looking forward to two movies from one of the most iconic directors of our time, Steven Spielberg. In a few weeks, The Post opens in wide release, and I'm very excited for that. And Ready Player One looks phenomenal and crazy. And if you know, he plays his card right, Spielberg could have another. The last time he came out with two movies was when he had Schindler's List and Jurassic Park. Dare he do the same kind of thing again, where he just kills it with these two movies? It looks like it may be possible. So I'm very excited for that. Any other honorable mentions that you're looking forward to? Any little maybe smaller things, smaller projects that you're looking forward to this year? Ashley?
Nothing else in particular to add, just lots of great geeky things coming up with some of the other Marvel movies. I know Infinity Wars takes a lot of the headlines, but we've also got Black Panther and then the Ant-Man and the Wasp, which I'm looking forward to. Some books I'm excited to dive into, and then getting some cons on the schedule. So just lots of good things going on. And like we talked about, you know, some of the negativity, it's good just to kind of focus on the positive. There's a lot good with fandom. So I'm looking forward to hopefully promoting a lot of those positive things.
Absolutely. And one thing I definitely look forward to is it looks like maybe only almost 50% of our shows this year are going to be movie reviews, because there's so many epic movies that are coming out this year. So that means more Ashley for ESO people.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. It's been fun to get more involved with the station. So absolutely. I'm always game to chat movies with you guys.
Absolutely. And Mike, other honorable mentions from you?
Dude, it's 2018. It's a geek year. Every year, it just seems like it gets more and more geeky. And, you know, you could be a geek about art. You could be a geek about sports. You could be a geek about music. There's just so much to be geeky about. And hopefully this geekiness will overcome all the negative that's out there right now. And hopefully that could bring harmony together. And that's what I'm looking forward to with 2018.
Dude, you use the H word. Like, wow. How like hippie.
Dude, I am the dude.
You are the dude, and the dude abides. And look, the only other thing I'll say about this year that we're in is this is the year that I'll finally, after quite some time, we'll hit the mid-century mark. I will be turning 50. So there better be a lot of like good stuff for me to dwell on, so I don't dwell on the
hold,
the
Mike, the Mike hold on. Old. We're getting a phone call. I think AARP is calling.
Okay. All right. Time out. We could put like this could be in the show or not, but when Michelle and I went to see Greatest Showman, I kid you not, the girl at the ticket taker said, "Two seniors coming right up." And she got our ticket.
This is staying in the show, my friend.
Yes, it was the first time that's ever happened. And I hope it doesn't happen again for quite some time, but ouch. Woo. She was a young girl, to her credit. Probably at that age, I didn't know the difference between 40, 60, whatever. But woo, that was tough to hear. And, you know, that was, I didn't correct her because I was in shock. It wasn't until I got to my seats and I looked at the ticket and I'm like, well, I'll be damned. She did think we were seniors. So that, yeah, I'm getting closer. I get it. Well, cool. So I have that to look forward to and a lot of other stuff to look forward to, including having you both back real soon to talk about all sorts of geeky stuff. So yeah, Mike, that's it. We're going to take a quick break right now. And I guess Geek Girl Angela is going to talk for a little bit, and then we'll be back to close out the show.
Girls Take. I'm your host, Angela, and this week, this geek girl is talking about the Amazon show Jean-Claude Van Johnson. So, I had heard a lot of talk about this new Amazon show, and I had heard the premises about how it was starring Jean-Claude Van Damme and was about his secret life as a secret agent called Mr. Johnson, and how his acting career was a cover-up. Okay, that sounds interesting, and having watched most of his action movies growing up with my dad, I could see how this would be a show he would do. Well, let me tell you, this show came in and spin-kicked me in the face out of the blue. If you haven't seen the show and don't want to be spoiled from all of its amazing greatness, then go ahead and skip ahead. You can find the show on Amazon, so go watch it. It's like 6 or 7 episodes, and they're less than an hour, so it's a really great time investment. Trust me. Okay, so I had no idea whatsoever that this show was going to go on full comedy. Jean-Claude Van Damme is hilarious in this. From the gag about dry ramen at the beginning of the first episode to the memorial joke at the end and the setup for a second season that looks fantastic, this show had me rolling from start to finish. Like, I didn't know I needed this show in my life, and I have not stopped quoting it and making jokes about it 4 days later. My favorite character had to be Philip. All of his scenes were so funny, and the fact that it was Jean-Claude Van Damme playing a character and making fun of himself all at the same time was just fantastic. Also, the main bad guy making the joke in the end of, I heard there's a special place for women who don't in hell that don't help other women, cracked me up. There was a lot of great action scenes, Jean-Claude Van Damme making fun of all of his old movies, and just all around kicking butt too in some of those fight scenes. The choreography in this show is amazing. The show is way over the top and well worth a watch. Well, thanks for listening to A Geek Girl's Take. What will I talk about next week? Well, you're going to have to listen to find out.
So that's going to wrap up our 2017 look back. Goodbye, 2017. Get out of here. We don't ever want to see you ever again. Hello, 2018. You're our new best friend. Yep, that's it. Of course. Folks, we want to hear from you guys at home. What were your favorites? What did you guys think for last year? What are you guys looking forward to in this next year? We want to hear all about it. Please write us esopodcast@gmail.com or call us at 404-963-9057. All right. Let's thank everyone for being here. Mr. Mike, you are the MC this week, and you did a wonderful job, my friend.
Well, as always, it's my pleasure, sir.
And anything you're going to shout out about?
Well, you know, we've done a lot of shout outs over the last couple hours. And look, I just have to say, once again, shout out 2017. Couldn't have been a good year without all the listeners, all the readers, all the fans, all the people that I met at conventions. Really, it is awesome. Every time I get a new Facebook friend, a new Facebook comment, Instagram, et cetera. It always is a great experience. I've had a lot of new connections that I've made, a lot of them due to this crazy podcast, which now is on episode 402. How crazy is that? But really, yeah, Mike and I would be chatting probably every week as well, even if we didn't have to do this podcast. But the fact that people are listening is amazing to me still. I appreciate all the listeners for putting up with our nonsense, and there's going to be more to come. As Mike said, there's going to be some really cool stuff happening, so we're hoping to make it worth your while.
Well, exactly. And it's like, keep on saying, it is all about you guys at home. We couldn't do this without you guys. Yeah, Mike and I would talk to each other still every week, if not more. And, you know,
we still wouldn't be in the same room, though.
No, we still don't like each other that much, you know, after seven and a half years, you know, we still have that restraining order between the two of us, but we still like, you know, breaking it and talking to each other. So it's a good thing. But, you know, seriously, though, this is all about you guys at home. We love doing this for you guys. We enjoy it. We love the interaction. Like we said during this last couple hours, one of our favorite things is to meet you guys at the cons. And that's what it's all about. I might as well do my, you know, my shout out real quick. This last week and for New Year's, Judy and I went to New Orleans. And we had a great time, spent time with my sister and her husband. And went to see a lot of live music, tried some amazing food. God, I think I gained at least 20 pounds out there. And, you know, it's just, New Orleans is like no other place on the face of the earth. And it's just a fun time and it's great. And actually had a really good experience. I went into this comic shop called More Fun Comics. And when I was there, I was talking to the guy. One of their customers walked up to me and says, "Hey, are you Earth Station One?" In a city I'd only been to once years ago. And I said, "Yeah, my name's Mike." He says, "I knew it was you." And he says, "I've listened to your podcast for the last 5 years." And he started rattling off other shows from the network that he listens to. And I just want to say, "Hey, Jason, thank you for listening to our shows. And, you know, continue doing so and keep on telling," he's been telling his friends about us. And, you know, this, it's just a neat experience going to a town you're not familiar with and meeting a listener. And it's just totally awesome.
That's crazy. Yeah. Very cool. That's
awesome.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm 400 miles away from home and people are listening to us. It just shows you the power of the podcast. And thank you guys
out there. And in New Orleans, when there's plenty of other cool stuff to do.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. You know, God, you know, everything to do. And, you know, there's just so much to do there and to take your time. He says he listens to us when he's driving to work. And then when he's sitting at his desk, he listens to us. And, you know, it's just a great experience. I know, you know, Jerry and I've talked about that, how he listens to the different podcasts and stuff. It's really awesome and everything. And speaking of Jerry, let's thank him for joining us tonight.
No, thank you for inviting me back. It's always a pleasure when you guys contact me and say, "Hey, we'd like to have you on." And it's something I very much appreciate. And I very much look forward to when you send me that invitation. So thank you very much for thinking of me when you were putting the show together.
Oh, not Jerry, a problem.
We got to thank you, man. You are not only one of, I don't want to say favorite listeners, because we don't pull that favorite stuff, but
we don't.
You are one of our biggest supporters. No, we don't do that. But you are one of our biggest supporters. You retweet us. You just the other day, I think, didn't you post about us doing the comic stuff or whatever? Is that you?
Yeah. I put together a compilation of the.
Yeah, that was really cool of you, man.
Because I thought you guys were really enjoyable and on point talking about all these artists and these creators, and a number of them that I grew up loving. And I was like, I've got a lot of friends who read comics. I've got a lot of friends who used to read comics. And it was like, okay, outside of the general stuff ESO does, look at all this stuff that they do, talking about this stuff that, you know, we talk about and love talking about. Listen to it. It's great. So it just made sense to lump all that together.
Well, we really appreciate the support you've given us over the years. And it's glad to have you actually visit the ship every once in a while, because, you are a great contributor. So thank you.
Exactly.
Oh, thank you very much.
That's actually one of the things I look forward to every year at Dragon Con is meeting up with you and your wife.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, and it's Judy has talked to your wife for different reasons and, you know, we won't get into now, but it's just awesome. You know, you guys you guys have become true friends of the station.
Oh, thank you.
And of course, Ashley, as always, it's wonderful to have you up here.
Oh, thank you so much. It's always a blast.
Anything you want to shout out about?
Yeah, I just want to kind of continue the trend of like thanking listeners and supporters, and want to give a special shout out to my dad, who has been a big cheerleader of me kind of as I got started in doing some more podcasting stuff. He downloads all the podcasts, listens to them, and then he also tells lots of people about ESO too. So just want to thank him for always listening and supporting me and kind of getting me started in geek culture anyway. So I just want to give a special shout out and thank you to him for supporting the station and supporting what I do as well.
Thank you, Ashley's dad.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. And also, you know, it's been amazing last year watching you kind of grow out of ESO, at least the mothership. I have listened to your appearances on the DCU show. I've listened to your appearances on the Story Geeks, and I must say I'm a little proud. It's more than a little proud to see you venture out into other podcasts. Although don't think that we, you know, it's a free reign. You can just go to any other podcast you want.
Oh, don't worry. I know I'm still always have to come check back in at the station, and just appreciate you guys giving me a platform. I was trying to think back to when I first guested on the podcast. I remember I was so scared the first time, but now, like, I love doing it. I get excited every time there's recording. So looking forward to hopefully lots more great discussions in 2018.
Yeah, I know. You know, she's become such a big celebrity on the podcast now that, you know, she asks for just green M&Ms when she sits in with us.
Wait, we can ask for stuff?
So with that being said, of course, you know, the show is brought to you by the fine folks at the ESO Amazon link right on ESOpodcast.com. I know quite a few of you have gotten Amazon cards and for your holiday gifts, and please continue to shop. They even have Valentine's stuff up there, folks. That's right. Valentine's is right around the corner, and buy stuff for your loved ones and think of ESO at the same time. I think Earth Station 1 and Amazon go well together, like peanut butter and jelly. It's gooey together. It's awesome. But to add to that goo now, we have our TeePublic store. Mary has been doing gangbusters by designing some new T-shirts, and I've been helping her with some of the designs and concepts. And, you know, just right next to the Amazon link on the ESO website is the TeePublic store. And go there, buy some T-shirts, and, you know, you can have some of Earth Station 1 right on your chest. Let me rephrase that. So you don't really want to go there, but have some Earth Station 1 clothing and, you know, show your love. That way, not just Ashley's dad has to promote us. You can help promote us too. It is a great thing, and we always do appreciate it. Speaking of appreciation, we had mentioned Steven Spielberg earlier. We're going to go back and look at one of his classic films next week. We are going to be talking all about Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And, you know, you're going to be hearing that music in your head all week. You know it. Do. It's going to be awesome. And it's going to be great to talk about. And Richard Dreyfuss building, you know, potato devil's tower. It's awesome. And it's just going to be great to see and to talk about. I'm actually looking forward to watching it again this weekend. So it should be a lot of fun. And until then, my name is Mike Faber. Happy 2018, everyone. Let's get it off to a great start. I'll talk to you soon. Peace. And we're done.
You've been listening to Earth Station 1, a weekly podcast that explores the many worlds of all things geek. Please write us at esopodcast@gmail.com or call us at 404-963-9057. And if we find what you say interesting, we'll put it up on the air. If you've enjoyed our show, please rate us or leave feedback for us up on iTunes. And while you're there, subscribe to our show or any of the ESO Network podcasts. We can also be found up on Stitcher Radio or wherever fine podcasts are found. ESO is also available up on most social media sites like Facebook, Twitter, and so many more. To learn more about ESO, our website is esopodcast.com. The show is produced by Calico Productions. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you here next time on the Earth Station 1 podcast. Peace.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek. Classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.